Hey there, this is Amanda Kelly with Joyful Heart, and I am so glad that you found me. In this podcast, I just share my heart, I love to share scripture, and I love to dish out encouragement. So thanks for finding me. I pray that this podcast encourages you and fills you with joy. Hello, this is Amanda with Joyful Heart Family. And I'm excited to talk with you today about believing God. Sometimes it can be so easy to just say that we believe God's going to do something. We believe in God. We believe that He can do something. But is there something deeper than that? What does Scripture say? What does Jesus Himself say about believing God? So we're going to explore that a little further today. Proverbs 23:7. In the King James Version says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is." Marcus Aurelius, the Roman emperor, concluded that we become what we think about. A person's life is what our thoughts are about it. As a person thinks in their heart, so they are. So what do we think? Is it really true? What does God's word say? In the Gospels, there's a story towards the end of Jesus's life when he is coming to Jerusalem. The background is that he sees a fig tree and curses it because it doesn't have figs on it. And then the next day, they see the fig tree again and it is completely withered. And Peter says, "That's the fig tree, teacher, the one you cursed just yesterday morning, and it's withered away to nothing." And then Jesus responds, and I believe this is great insight and information to take in and impact our mindset. Jesus says, this is the Voice translation, "Trust in God. If you do, honestly, you can say to this mountain, 'Mountain, uproot yourself and throw yourself into the sea.' If you don't doubt, but trust that what you say will take place, then it will happen. So listen to what I'm saying. Whatever you pray for or ask from God, believe that you'll receive it, and you will." I love that. Believe then that you'll receive, and you will. I also think there's some insight into this passage from the Amplified version. I really love the Amplified. So Jesus says in the Amplified, "Have faith in God constantly. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him in accordance with God's will. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them, and they will be given to you." So the belief precedes the receiving. You're to believe, we are to believe with confident trust that we have received the things that we've asked for, that they will be given to us. So when we pray and when we ask God, we say it, we present our requests with confident trust, believing that we have received them. If it is something that we're asking for and it's according to God's will, it's according to God's plan, it's what He wants for our life, then we can believe that we will receive what we're asking for. I really love that. And sometimes, if I'm honest though, it's hard. I believe that God can do anything, but do I believe that He's already done those things for me? The requests of my heart, the dreams of my heart, the thoughts that He has planted there, the work, the calling on my life, the things I want to accomplish, the glory I want to bring to God through my labors and efforts. Do I believe? Do I truly believe that what I'm asking for about these things, I've already received them and that I will? He's already done it. So I heard someone speak, Leslie Burris, which I just love following her. She gave me some really new insight into biblical truths I'd heard for decades. She was talking about belief preceding the miracle and how we can believe things on credit. We can believe what God says he's going to do. And then often in the Gospels, we can find that people are asking Jesus to help them, to heal them, to raise their dead children up to life again. And there's even an instance of a blind man asking Jesus, "Jesus, save me, help me." And Jesus said, "What is it you want me to do?" And Jesus said, or the man said, "I want to be healed. I want to see." Jesus asked the blind man to tell and present his specific prayer. Jesus made him say what he really wanted. The specific prayer is for us. It's not for God. God knows what we need. But when we pray specifically asking for what we really need, we get to the root issue and it grows our faith. Then we know that it's God who did it, not us. And it didn't happen by chance. We can also pray specific passages of scripture. If there are things that we are anxious about, we can name them specifically, what's making us anxious and what we are requesting of God to do. We can believe and have faith constantly that God is going to do the things that he's going to do according to his will. When we pray, we will receive what we ask for, if it's in accordance with his will. I love Zechariah 4:6. It says, "My strength and prowess won't be enough to finish the tasks, but God's spirit will be." This is when Zerubbabel is going to rebuild the temple and he's met with opposition. And it's said in those verses that he won't have the strength, but that God's spirit will give him the strength to do that and accomplish it. In John 14:13, Jesus is saying, "Whatever you ask for in my name, I will do it so that the Father will get glory from the Son. Let me say it again. If you ask for anything in my name, I will do it." Then he talks about how we will receive the Spirit of Truth, the Helper, who will remain constantly with us, which is the Holy Spirit. John 15 is such a beloved and dear passage to me. This is what Jesus tells his followers in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he's about to be charged and crucified the next day. Jesus has a teaching moment, and we can learn from it many, many years later. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the keeper of the vineyard. My Father examines every branch in me and cuts away those who do not bear fruit. He leaves those bearing fruit and carefully prunes them so that they will bear more fruit. Already you are clean because you have heard my voice. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. A branch cannot bear fruit if it is disconnected from the vine, and neither will you if you are not connected to me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you abide in me, and I in you, you will bear great fruit. Without me, you will accomplish nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is like a branch that is tossed out and shriveled up, and is later gathered to be tossed into the fire to burn. If you abide in me, and my voice abides in you, anything you ask will come to pass for you. Your abundant growth and your faithfulness as my followers will bring glory to my Father. I have loved you as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Follow my example in obeying the Father's commandments and receiving his love. If you obey my commandments, you will stay in my love. I want you to know the delight I experience, to find ultimate satisfaction, which is why I am telling you all of this. My commandment to you is this: love others as I have loved you. There is no greater way to love than to give your life for your friends. You celebrate our friendship if you obey this command. I don't call you servants any longer. Servants don't know what the master is doing, but I have told you everything the Father has said to me. I call you friends. You did not choose me. I chose you, and I orchestrated all of this so that you would be sent out and bear great and perpetual fruit. As you do this, anything you ask the Father in my name will be done. This is my command to you. Here in this short chapter, Jesus is saying twice to ask. Anything we ask in his name will come to pass for us. He will do it. Anything we ask in the Father's name, he will do it. This comes after he's asking us to be obedient and to love others. So what we are asking for God should be coming from a place of love for others. When we have our mindset right and in this place of knowing who we are and how God loves us, it allows that belief in the work that we're striving so hard to accomplish in God's power, like Zechariah 4:6 says, but it comes to a place where when we're not seeing the results that we've asked for, we believe God has put a calling on our life, yet day by day goes by and the results and the things that we've asked for we're not seeing. And what do we do? It can be easy to lose trust and question. Maybe I misheard God. Maybe he has this for someone else and not for me. Maybe I'm doing the wrong things. But it brings us back to remember what God said over and over in Scripture. Whatever we pray, whatever we ask from God, we are to believe that we have received it. We've already received it. And then it will be given to us. So the belief precedes the miracle. I love that. Psalm 90, verses 14 through 17 have also been scripture that has inspired and encouraged me. With every sun's rising, surprise us with your love. Satisfy us with your kindness. Then we will celebrate, sing with joy every day that we are alive. God, you have spent many days afflicting us with pain and sorrow. Now match those with years of unspent joy. Joy that is never spent, never gone, never used up. Let your work of love be on display. Let your children see your majesty. And then let the beauty and grace of the Lord rest, stay upon us, and bring success to all we do. Yes, bring success to all we do. The Amplified and the NIV say, confirm for us the work of our hands. The NIV is establish the work of our hands. Again, that passage is in Psalm 90. And we're asking God to bring success to the work of our hands, to confirm it, to establish it, to bring success to all that we do. The psalmist acknowledges the days that have been filled with affliction and pain and sorrow, and asks God to match those with years of unspent joy. So, how are you doing in this area? How are you doing with believing God? Do you struggle with it, as I do sometimes? I believe that God can do anything. I absolutely do. But if I'm honest, sometimes I struggle to believe if he will do it. Why would he do it? Is there something that I'm doing wrong that I need to do better? And perhaps there is. Perhaps there are areas that my heart needs to stay soft and be listening to the conviction of the Lord. But I want to be a person who's following Scripture. I want to be like those people who came to Jesus asking for healing, asking for miracles, and believing that he would do them. I believe he can do them, but believing that he would do them, believing that he loves me enough, he loves me so much to put the dreams and desires in my heart, that those are from the Lord. When they're coming from a place of love and service to others and to desire to bring glory to God, to make him famous, to use my life for those two specific things, loving others and making God famous, then whatever I ask for in accordance with his will, I believe that I have already received it, and then it will be given to me. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. Psalm 37, delight myself in the Lord, and he will give me the desires of my heart, and he will do that for you as well. May these scriptures and words encourage us just with a short, small mind, or maybe it's a big mind shift, and allow us to believe God and to know that we can ask for things. He wants us to ask for these things, and he wants to do them. He wants to get the credit and the glory and the praise when what we ask for in accordance with his will, in his name, comes to fruition and we praise him. So, wherever you're at today, I encourage you, believe him, trust him, listen to these scriptures often. May they sink into your hearts and into your minds and into our brave, bold, confident prayers, requests that we are asking God to do super abundantly, more than we could ever dream, hope, or imagine through the work of God in us, Ephesians 3:20 says. Thanks for listening. Now get praying with those requests. Let them sink into your heart, these scriptures. I can't wait to see what God does in your life and in mine. He is good. He is faithful. He wants us to ask. Be blessed today. Thanks so much for listening today. Again, this is Amanda Kelly with Joyful Heart Family, and I pray that this was a blessing to you. And if it was, I'm going to invite you to write a review or tell a friend about our podcast. I would really appreciate that so that that can help us get God's word and this podcast in more people's ears. Hey, I wanted to also let you know about several other resources that I offer that would totally bless you and your family. So I have Joyful Heart Family at www.joyfulheartfamily.com, which is a resource and a website with different inspiration and encouragement for your health, your wellness, your family, your relationship with God, even creating happy family traditions. I also have joyfulheartdance.com, which I started a family-friendly, God-honoring, dad-approved dance program for families. We offer classes online and in person in our Glendale, Arizona home studio. Visit joyfulheartdance.com or joyfulheartcourses.com to learn more and to take some of those online classes. I also started a courses website where we have inspiring and educational information and resources for you to grow in whatever area you are looking for. It's joyfulheartcourses.com. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you so much. Now go have a blessed and joyful day.